Hey, this is Brendan Gersall from King's Church. Thanks so much for tuning in to our podcast. I pray this message you're about to hear empowers you, encourages you, challenges you, and equips you to live the life that Jesus has for you. Thanks for tuning in.
Next Saturday is an exciting day for me because I get to perform the ceremony of the wedding of Pastor Josh Forbes and his beautiful bride-to-be, Maddie. You did good, boy. Good work. I'm very excited. For those of you at all of our locations, Josh is our student ministries pastor, and you're all invited to the wedding. He told me to say this, so. No, can you imagine the bill? Oh, my goodness. You're not all invited, but pray for him. Send them a gift. Wish them well. But it's been really fun to be able to just prepare for this wedding. It's going to be next Saturday. And the plans are all set. We've done some pre-marriage counseling. Melanie and I have sat down with Josh and Maddie. And next Saturday is a very exciting day for him. But how many of you know who've been married, you know that there's a big difference between a wedding and a marriage? Oh, yeah. Yes. There was a visceral, oh, yeah, in the room. Yeah. The wedding is a start line. It's the starting gate. The marriage takes a lifetime. There is a big difference between having a wedding, making commitments, saying your vows. There's a big difference between that and making a marriage. Good marriages take work. They're grown over time. They're built through intention and discipline and devotion. They don't just happen. Can I get an amen? I was thinking about my engagement time with Melanie. We both look the exact same. She does, actually. She looks the same. My hair migrated. It went south. It went south for forever, not just for the winter. So, but hey, I can still bust out Blue Steel when I need to. Any Zoolander fans? All right, it gets a slow burn. Okay. But look, these two kids were engaged. This was the summer of 2005. And we had all the love in the world for each other and all the great plans of being married, but we had no idea what being married was all about. We took our vows on May 27th, 2006, and we have been building our marriage ever since then. And I do want to testify to the beauty and greatness of the gift of a marriage that is built over time. I was able to say to Pastor Josh and Maddie with integrity that marriage isn't easy, but if you continue to work it, it gets better and better and better. It really does. And now, this is not a sermon on marriage, but I use this as an analogy to say this, that the best things in life, and life itself, is something that has to be tended with intention. That the good things in your life, fruitful things, healthy relationships, they don't just happen, they are built and developed. And this is the true fact I want you to keep in your mind as we get thinking about our lives. The Christian life is not something that just happens. Becoming like Jesus is not something that just happens. How many of you, when you started to follow Jesus, you were hoping he would just zap you and poof, you're like Jesus? How many of you, it didn't work that way? Wow, there's a good half of you that you're like Jesus right now, like fully? Here's the platform. Come, share. No, it takes time. It takes intention. The Christian life is a life that you build in following Jesus. This is why we've been using language and having a conversation over these past weeks about the adopted lifestyle. We are in a series where we're talking about the lifestyle that we have got to take on as we become followers of Jesus. The Christian life is something you build as you learn how to follow Jesus. It takes time and intentionality. Anybody agree with that? This is why, like, I've been around church my whole life. 41 years I've been involved in the church at some level, even if that was a baby at the beginning. Something I have noticed is this, that it's very possible to come to church, to have a legitimate encounter, like a conversion experience, if you want to call it that, and legitimately put your faith in Jesus for a time. But here's the thing. It is possible to intellectually convert to Christianity, to even experience his spirit in a very real and meaningful way. But if you don't adopt the practices over the long haul, what can happen is the fire of God can fire up in your life, and if you don't learn how to tend it, it will flame out. And I don't want to get into some theological debate about predestination and once saved, always saved. If you remember those days, good on you. I want to say this, though. I have seen it time and time again where people will come to church, they'll have a dramatic encounter, they'll be fired up, and then I'll see 6 months, 8 months, 12 months later, they're gone. Poof. This flash in the pan Christian experience is so common. Now, why does that happen? Why is it that the fire of God can ignite a person to new life, but if that person doesn't learn how to actually walk it out and live it out and tend it, it will burn out? I've seen that happen so many times. I've seen it happen. This is why, for some of you, I've said things like this. Some of you have actually heard me say this. Maybe after you got baptized or you had a moment at the altar, a new conversion experience, I'll say something like, don't forget how you feel right now, because there will come a day where the feelings don't match up with your commitment. There will come a time where you don't feel like this and your faith will be tested. So remember how you felt when you came out of those waters of baptism. Remember how it felt when the Lord touched you, because it's not always going to feel like that. How many know that to be true? That it comes in waves, grace upon grace, and there are peaks and valleys, troughs and swells. Is that something like that. You know, the waves upon waves. This is true of Christianity. This is why a lot of the time here at the church, we'll have people who are brand new believers want to get deeply involved in high-level leadership, and we'll say things like, hey, talk to us in 18 months. You know, talk to us in a couple years. Why? Like, why did Paul say, don't let new believers be elders in the church? Why? Because it takes time to learn how to adopt the lifestyle and walk out your faith. This is what we're spending our time on right now. And I want to look at Matthew chapter 7. We've been talking about the adopted lifestyle, and we've been wrapping it around this idea of building our lives on Jesus. That Jesus did the hard work to invite us into eternal life, but now we have a part to play. There's a role that we have in this journey called life where we build and appropriate our lifestyle on the person of Jesus. Let's read Matthew chapter 7 once more and get that picture in our minds. Jesus said this, anyone who listens to my teaching and what? Follows it. So there's an active, actual, participatory reality in this. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. He's speaking of himself. Now get that picture in mind that Jesus says, I am the rock of salvation, but your job is to learn how to establish your life and build your life on the rock. And then he contrasts that. Here's what happens if you don't. Anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is what? Foolish. Oh, some of you didn't want to say that. Anybody who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Yeah, you're a fool. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So Jesus is giving us this picture of building our lives on him. And last week we talked about alignment. We talked about this idea of living our lives unto God. If you were in the second service at the Valley, you missed the sermon, so I hope you went back and you watched it again. But we talked about this conversation around accountability. Like, this is the way that you and I get our houses aligned on the rock. We live a life accountable to God. But today I want to start talking about the stuff that you and I do that begins to fabricate or construct our lives on Jesus. And I want to talk to you about the principle or the concept or the adopted lifestyle of devotion. Say it with me, devotion. Come on, Valley, say it with me, devotion. Yes, we're awake, good. I feel you. This is the time change Sunday where everybody should be energetic, right? Okay, good. I want to talk really quick about devotion. I don't have a ton of time. We're going to motor, but here's my premise. The Christian life is built by adopting a lifestyle of devotion. That if you want to get in mind a word that encapsulates or prioritizes the construction of your life, the word is devotion. Now, what do I mean by devotion? Here's my definition. Devotion is loyalty and love in action. It's loyalty and love in action. That's what devotion is. Maybe you could say it's care and commitment in action. The key word is that the actions match up with your intentions. And so I want to talk for a few minutes about devotion. I'm going to answer two simple and quick questions. This is just a teaching. Sit back, relax, take notes, and we're going to just answer a couple quick questions. Here it is. First is this. Why devotion? Why does devotion matter? And the second, what does devotion to Jesus look like in my life? I'm going to describe it for you. And hopefully, out of this, we will be a more devoted people. So two primary questions, why devotion and what does it look like? Let's start with why devotion. Two reasons why devotion. First is this. Reason number one, that we need to live a life of devotion, this loyalty and love in action. Loyalty to Jesus, love to Jesus in action. Reason number one is because Jesus modeled it. Jesus modeled it. Why does it matter that Jesus modeled something? Why do we care if he showed us how to do something or showed us what something is like? Because he is the master and we are his servants. We are his disciples. If Jesus did something, listen to me, you and I are supposed to emulate it. Correct? We're actually supposed to imitate Christ. We're supposed to do like he does. A disciple is someone who follows the teachings, patterns, and principles of a master. And so you and I as Christians, when he says follow me, he literally means like don't aimlessly just assume that you are a follower of Jesus. He means do like I do. Talk like I talk. Walk like I walk. Follow after me. Has anybody here ever done an apprenticeship before? Show of hands, all locations, show of hands, apprenticeship. Yeah, you. What did you do in your apprenticeship? You watched, you learned, you imitated, you learned the ways of the master. You know, sometimes you might have seen like you watch or I do, you watch. You do, I help. You remember this? You do, I help. Or I do, you help. You do, I help. You do, I watch. You do. That's like the apprenticeship thing. Some people are nodding. Some of you are very confused. Let's move on. We are called to do an apprenticeship with Jesus over our lives, to actually learn to be like him, to do the Jesus stuff. That's a cool thought, actually, isn't it? One of the reasons that Christianity has been dismissed in North America is because it's boring for people, because they never actually started doing the Jesus stuff. Do you know what's not boring? The Jesus stuff, ever. It's the most exciting, invigorating, vital stuff you can imagine in life. And here's the good news. You and I are invited to actually participate in the stuff that Jesus does. If he says, follow me, do you think he thinks that you and I can follow him? He would never invite us to do something that he doesn't think we could do. He's not mean. We follow and we apprentice him. So it matters to us, first and foremost, because he modeled it. Do you know Jesus was constantly living a life of devotion to God? Look what he said to us. He said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you, like me, have to give up your own way and take a cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. What's he saying? He's like, do as I do. Model it. Paul said, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you're his dear children. Be imitators of God. We're called to model it. Jesus, we're told multiple times in the Gospels, he was constantly drawing away, walking in devotion to the Father. He was always spending time alone with the Lord. He was constantly aware of what the Father was saying and doing. He lived this life of constant devotion to God. And it was his devotion all through his ministry that was the key that unlocked everything that happened through him, was this ability to stay connected through devotion. We are called to be like that. Think about your life for a minute. Would you call yourself devoted to the Father, devoted to Jesus? The measure of your devotion will be the measure of your fruitfulness. So why devotion? Number one, because Jesus modeled it. Number two, because Jesus commanded it. He told us it is the key. It's the key. Look what he said in John chapter 15. He said, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. How many of you know that an analogy that's around horticulture should tell us something? It tells us that this Christian life is not like a silver bullet or done in a microwave. Right? Jesus intends it to be a growth process. This thing that is cultivated. And look what he says. Here's how it works. It says, the gardener cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce even more. You, speaking to the disciples, have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. So the new life has begun. You see that? I brought the word. I brought the word of life to you. You're a believer. You're in. Now here's your job. Verse 4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. What's he saying? What's he saying our job as Christians is? Say it with me. Remain. Thank you, over here in the back. Yes, remain. It's to remain. Your job is to remain in him. And that takes action and intention. It takes devotion. Remaining in him. Jesus commanded it, and he told us it is the key. We're told in Luke chapter 10, one of the most profound things I think Jesus ever said. He rebuked Martha, who had this spirit of distraction and frenzy and anxiety. And look what he said to her. He says, there's only one thing worth being concerned about. There's one thing that matters to the life of a disciple. And Mary has discovered it, and it will be not taken away from her. What was Mary doing? Does anybody remember this story? Mary was sitting in devotion at his feet. What's he saying? He's like, if you seek first the king and his righteousness, the kingdom and his righteousness, everything else will fall into order. So the first job for you and I as a believer is to appropriate this life of devotion. The reason so many of us don't experience the life and the fruitfulness and the stuff that Jesus promised is because we aren't obedient in walking out a life of devotion. So we do it because Jesus modeled it, and we do it because Jesus commanded it. Many people never get beyond the initial rush of grace when they first believe. Can I just say that again? I've seen it so many times in church. Many people never get beyond the first initial rush of grace they experience when they believe. And they never actually get to experience the transformation and power and peace and joy that comes from learning to abide in Christ. That's where the power is. The power is in your ability to remain in him, to connect with him. So let me describe, I've told you why, let me describe what devotion is all about. Again, I told you I'd be quick today, but I want to just give you a picture of how to start assembling your life in Christ. Three quick descriptors of what devotion is, what it looks like, what to expect when it comes to this idea of devotion to Jesus. Loyalty and love in action. First is this. Devotion is quite simple. It's a simple aim. Three things that we kind of aim ourselves at. Again, you can get more complex than this, but this will at least help aim you in the right direction. And my hope for this, for you, King's Church, is this, that for you new believers, for the new believers, there are many of you, I'm so glad. I hope this helps sort of set you on the track. But there's a lot of us that aren't new believers. I hope this stirs you up to sort of reinvigorate your devotion life to Jesus. Amen? So, three things. First, devotion is a simple aim. I devote myself to his ways. I already touched on this, but it's simply trying to do the things that Jesus did. Jesus forgave, so I'm going to try to forgive. Right?
Right.
Jesus showed compassion, so I'm going to try to be compassionate. Jesus was a healer, I'm going to reach for healing. Jesus noticed the marginalized, so I'm going to try to notice the marginalized. Jesus spoke the truth in love, so I'm going to try to speak the truth in love. Now, you're thinking, I can't do those things. In a very real sense, no, you can't. But here's the mystery. I want to say the magic. The mystery of the Christian life. When you and I start stepping out in faith to do the things that you and I in our own strength can't do, but Jesus does, stay with me, he empowers that. And it's in that space where some of you think it's like going through the motions. It's faking it. It's not faking it. It's faith in it. And when you start faithing something and you start doing it, I'm going to, like, how many of you know when you forgive somebody, you don't feel like it? I still want to wring their neck. But in faith, I choose to forgive them over and over again. And somewhere in some mystery, as you go through those motions and you faith it over and over again, the power that comes from the vine into the branch is a real thing. Has anybody experienced that? It's like the kingdom comes in motion. It really does. You'll see some of the healing stories in the Gospels. And like Jesus, when he cleansed the 10 lepers, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible tells us that as they went somewhere along the way, they transformed from lepers into clean people. And that's a great picture of what your and I's life is supposed to look like. It's like as we adopt the ways of Jesus in some mystery, he gives us power and he begins to change us. This is what Paul was talking about in Philippians 2. And he said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, did he say earn your salvation? No, he said work it out, like practice it. Try, make the effort. And you say, what happens if I fail? Try again. How many of you have apprenticed under somebody and you screwed up? What did the good teacher do? He showed you where you went wrong and gave you a chance to do it again. Jesus is the great teacher, the great master, and here's the awesome thing. You and I are free from condemnation. We just get to keep trying to follow him, and in some magic mystery, as we walk out in his ways, he gives us power and transformation just happens. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Think about that. Some of you, you never even tried. So many of us in our Christian life, I'm guilty of this all the time, where it's like, I want the feeling before the action. Is that not true? That's not how it works in the kingdom. Act first, feel later is how it works in the kingdom. We got to learn how to faith it. Walk in his ways. Walk in his ways. Like the Mandalorian. This is the way. Right? Some of you know that. I'm getting all the references. I'm going to touch everybody today. We're devoted to his ways. We're devoted to his worth. What I mean by that, I think it's important when you think about devotion to remind yourself that part of devotion is a lifestyle that should bring glory to Jesus. Amen? Like what you and I do with our lives should reflect positively on who Jesus is. Think about it in your marriage relationships. Let's go back to marriage for a minute. Part of being married, part of a healthy marriage is not like Brent Ingersoll operating as an island unto himself, but it's being aware that how I operate and how I live and move and act in this world reflects, for better or worse, on my wife. Correct? And so I want to seek to do well because she's part of that equation, that I want her to be glorified through my actions, if that makes sense. One of the ways that we live out a good marriage is by loving each other well and representing each other well. That's part of the Christian life. It's just like you and I are witnesses to Jesus, that your decisions, like, how many times have you like done something and then the Spirit of God just sort of tapped you on the shoulder and said, did that reflect positively or poorly on me? Right? It's like when you're driving and like the other day when someone was driving 40 and an 80 and I was this far away from their tail. Don't judge me. You do it. Or you're that person who drives 40. Let's have a conversation. Right? But it's like in those moments, devotion looks like backing off and not being a jerk, right? Is this too real for you? Is this too raw? We are devoted to each other by operating in such a way that brings glory. Third, I devote myself to his words. I devote myself to his words, to what he said. This is huge. How do you get to know somebody? What's the best way to get to know somebody? Spend time, correct, but what are you primarily doing to get to know somebody when you spend time with them? No, don't talk. Yeah, so all the wives said, yeah, I am a pro at listening. Just ask Melanie. I'm not. It's a problem. No, but it is true. Listening is one of the primary things that we do to build relationship, and that's how God's designed us. And it's true in our relationship with God, that listening to his word is the key right at the heart of what it means to live a life of devotion. We have to learn how to listen and saturate our lives with what God says. Amen? We're going to be creatures of the word. The word of God is our daily bread. It's sustenance. It's revelation. It provides direction. We have to become creatures of the word, shaped by the word, fueled by the word, constantly listening for what God says. Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but meditates on the law of the Lord, on the word of God day and night. He is like a stream planted by streams of living water. He bears fruit in his season. His leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. What's the key? He meditates on the word. Your life has got to get absorbed with the word of God. We've got to get the word into us all the time. How many of you have experienced this before? Where in a moment of need, the Spirit of God has called back to memory a verse that you read at a completely different time. Yeah. Here's something I know to be true. If that word is not in you, you're not going to ever hear it in that moment of need. We got to get the word of God in us. We got to read the word of God daily. We got to let it read us. We have to do what he said. We have to listen to what he's saying. We got to respond to how he's moving. Here's the word of God, like devotion to the word at its core. It's two things. I want to be constantly devoted to what he's already said. So scripture. If you don't have a Bible, please talk to one of the pastors, a campus pastor, any of our sites. We'll give you a Bible. If you have a device, you can download it. But you and I have got to be just absolutely saturated in what God has already said in Scripture. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And along with that, moment by moment, day by day, we also need to be listening for what the Spirit of God is saying. How many know God is God, God who has spoken, and God is a God who speaks? And so we want to be constantly listening for how God is speaking. So here's three quick tips for you. Write these down. Here's three quick tips about saturating your life in the Word. First is this: spend time reading Scripture and praying every single day. Every day. There was this song in Sunday school. One of the things I'm learning as I grow older is that the generations that go before you aren't as crazy as you thought they were when you were kids. Is that not a true, like, that's just, you just, you're like, oh, okay, I see now. Yep. There was this song we sang in Sunday school. It went like this. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day. Some of you know it. Pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Yeah. And here, you want to hear the crazy? The second verse will blow your mind. It's like, don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink. Shrink, shrink. Yeah. It's simple, but it's true, man. That is absolute truth. You and I have got to learn how to spend every single, like a daily time in the Word, daily time in prayer every single day. We have to, second, so Word and prayer every day. Got it? Pastor says word and prayer every single day. King's Church, what do I want from you or for you? I want you every single day to read Scripture and pray. Do it. I don't feel confident the way you're looking at me. Okay. All right. Some of you already do. Second, stay attentive and stay in constant communication. Part of learning to walk in his word is don't just go to the Scripture in the morning and then close your Bible and hang up on Jesus. But you learn how to go through your life constantly in communication with them. And again, come back to a good marriage. You know, Melanie and we never stop talking, especially with the advent of texting, right? And you're just constantly pinging communication back and forth. That's part of a healthy marriage. Your life with Christ should look like that. Talk to him. Be attentive to what he's saying. You know, you can do life in real time. People might think you're crazy and talking to yourself, but I'll tell you what, it'll transform everything if you start to live your life with an awareness of the presence and voice of the shepherd in your life. It'll start changing things. So communicate constantly. Scripture daily, prayer daily, communicate constantly. And then number three, obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about next week. So I want to unpack that. Simply put, you cannot follow Jesus without being a creature of his word. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So scripture and prayer, it's a keystone habit. Do you know what a keystone habit is? James Clear, Atomic Habits, talked about if you find something, a habit that you do that will unlock a bunch of other positive habits. It's a keystone habit. I talked to a guy last week, and I was speaking at another church's event, and there was a guy there that lost 140 pounds. And I said, how did you lose 140 pounds? He said, cold plunging. Like, that makes you lose weight? And he goes, no. But if I did that and I faced that fear every morning, it allowed me to just do the rest of the hard things that I had to do. It's a keystone habit. The word in scripture, his voice is a keystone habit. You got it? Number two. So it's a simple aim, but I want to acknowledge this. It's a serious challenge. I don't want to set you up for the surprise of failure. You're going to fail. It's hard. Can I get some saints in the room just by show of hands? Like, this devotion thing is hard. It takes work. It takes intentionality. It's difficult. Your schedule makes it hard. Our flesh makes it hard. Some days you wake up tired. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to spend time in the Word. Our desires make it hard. The devil makes it hard. How many of you sat down to pray and all of a sudden squirrel, right? Like, just distraction. It's just hard. It just is. And I don't know how to make it unhard. Dan, have you figured that out yet? Okay, Pastor Dan hasn't figured it out yet. So it's just hard. It is hard. Our attention span makes it hard, especially these days. Listen, this will hurt a little bit, but it's true. Like, the Lord does not speak in TikTok sound bites often. I mean, he can, a little inspiration here, but real intimacy is not developed on TikTok. Like, there's a waiting that has to happen. There's a devotion and a repetition that has to happen over the long haul. Again, it's not microwave. It's not quick. It's grown over time. Again, I'm not trying to trash TikTok. I know we got our influencers here. All good. It's just there's a difference between those sound bites and that life of abiding. It's hard. It's very hard. I like the language that Paul uses. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs? See the language? It's a race. It's a challenge. But only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All the athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body. I train my body, he says, like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. What is he saying? What's he saying? It's like, it's a challenge. I got to push. And how many of you, like, in your personal health, your body health, have had ups and downs? And how many of you can get back on the wagon? Like, when you fall off, the same goes for your spiritual life, your secret life with the Lord. There are ups and downs. The problem is, a lot of the time when you and I fall off the wagon, we don't get back up, we slash the tires and set up camp. Don't we? Yeah, don't do that. Like, you can just try again. Maybe today, for some of you, like, that have been following Jesus for a while, this is just your notice to start trying again. Like, just get back to prayer, get back to daily prayer, and start a new pattern, some new rhythms. So the best things, here's why. The best things in your life, the things that are most life-giving and glorious and vital, are often the most hard-fought. Have you noticed that? Any moms give birth, carry that baby for 9 months, and then you had to raise them for 18 years, right? It's hard. Like, the marriage is hard. Like, the best things in life, they don't come easy. But here's the beauty. If you will give yourself to it, the reward, the payoff is there. And that's my final point today. It brings, devotion yields significant results. Oftentimes, this has been my experience, sometimes when I sit down with the Word or I start to pray, the Lord will rock my world. That is more the exception than the rule. Can I just tell you that? Most days, it feels like I cracked open my Bible, read something, said a prayer, and then went off and did my thing. And I tried to stay connected to the Lord. But I don't very often find myself on the floor weeping. It's happened a few times, But most of the time, it's just this daily discipline. But the beauty is, over the months and the years, if you will stick with it, you'll find when you look back, we've come a long way. And the Lord, a lot of the time, how many know God can touch you and change you dramatically, but most of the time, transformation is incremental. It's incremental. It's just day by day. Listen, you and I have eternity with the Lord. He's not in a hurry. Right? So day by day, it begins to yield massive results. Look at the promise Jesus said. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, if you'll just fight to remain in me, and I'll remain in you, you will produce, say it with me, much fruit. Yeah, much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But the promise is this, fruitfulness, which is why you decided to follow Jesus in the first place. Isn't it? Yeah. Vitality, life, salvation, all that. Like he says, it comes through learning to remain in me. So real quickly, a picture of what the fruit of devotion looks like. First, what will a more devoted life give you? One, it'll give you more clarity. The word of God is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. It actually will show you things. The word of God will reveal what Jesus is like to you. The word of God will give you perspective on the world you live in. Amen? The word of God will give you hindsight to see things differently after the fact. The word of God can give you insight to make the right decisions in the moment. The word of God can even give you foresight, that you can see and react to what's coming down the road. The word of God will give you clarity. If you want perspective in your life, you need God's voice. You need God's voice to speak in. Number two, the word of God brings vitality. Jesus said, I am the word of life. I am the bread of life. I am daily bread for you. God wants us to get our satisfaction, our sense of identity, vindication, purpose, meaning, glory. He doesn't want us to get that from our career or from our spouse or from social media or from our money or from our kids. He wants us to get those deep soul cravings satisfied from him. And the way we do that is through devotion. It's through making that decision that I will not feed my soul on anything else other than you. You are my primary source in this life. I'm coming to you. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 4 that man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of the Father. The word of God is our sustenance. Number three, when you and I step deeper into devotion, you're going to find charity. I wanted to use that because it had a T-Y. What I mean by the word charity comes from the Greek word charis, which means grace. Grace. How many of you have discovered this, that there is a correlation between the life you live in the secret with the Lord and the level of public power and awareness of his presence and grace in your life that you experience? There just is. That the grace of God is given to you through that means of devotion. Like if you're struggling with anxiety and fear, it's actually right from him through devotion that he wants to give you his power to overcome it. It's through the word. It's through devotion. He gives us strength in our weakness, grace for our time of need. And I have observed in my own life that private devotion leads to experiencing his power. Number four, the fruit of devotion is liberty. This idea of freedom and transformation. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yeah. Some of you are going to read your Bible more because of this sermon, and when I give those cues, you're going to know exactly what the last word is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, the Bible tells us. Yeah, in his presence is fullness of joy, and there is freedom there. The Bible tells us that his word sets us free. It's living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It can separate bone from marrow and joint. Like it's able to penetrate and divide into your soul. The word of God does this. How many of you, like, if you want to become more like Jesus, part of the way you do it is devotion to him, and as you are devoted to him, he transforms you, like I talked about earlier. It says in 2 Corinthians, as we behold his glory, he transforms us from glory to ever-increasing glory. So if you want to become more like Jesus, you want to walk and live and move and think and talk like him, devotion is the key. Finally, intimacy. Without a doubt, the greatest reward for a life of devotion is actually intimacy. It's friendship with God. Think about that for a minute. Like, Holy Spirit, would you just like shake the whatever it is that causes us to not take you seriously enough? Like, would you help us? The reward of devotion is actually friendship with the Lord. I heard this verse this week. I'd never noticed it before, but the psalmist says this: who is the man who fears the Lord? He, the Lord, will instruct him, the man who fears him, in the way he should choose. We talked about that, that the word, his presence brings direction and illumination and clarity. His soul will abide in prosperity. It brings vitality as you learn how to live in devotion. Now watch this. And his descendants will inherit the land. Think about this. Your devotion has the power to carry into generations. I have been very aware that I am the product of my parents' and grandparents' devotion, that I experienced a spiritual momentum because they fought the fight of devotion. I think of my Grandma Ingersoll. There was never a day I didn't see her Bible open. Every time I showed up to visit her, even in her old age, she'd been reading her Bible and praying. She prayed every day and read her Bible every day. And there is a spiritual inheritance and momentum that you can carve out for your kids. Does anybody just... That is absolutely true. And maybe some of you, you're first-generation Christians. Think about this. Like, my great-grandfather, I think, was the first to really, like, give his life to Jesus. And there is a spiritual inheritance I have now, four generations later, that he chose for our family. But here's the thing I want to highlight. So the man who fears the Lord, his soul will abide in prosperity. He will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make known his covenant. I love this word, the secret of the Lord, the secret of the Lord. It's this Hebrew word, sod, which means inner circle, intimate knowledge, confidential discussion. Think about that for a minute. That the Lord invites the one who fears him and who is devoted to him to have a deeper level of communion with him. That is a wild thought. Like, have you ever... I was in a room this past week. I traveled. I was in a room, and there was all these like big, impressive American church pastors, and I was like the lonely hick maritimer there. And I felt like I knew a bunch of people, but not well. And I wasn't in the inner circles. I felt like an outsider a lot of the time, which is fine. Don't feel bad for me. But like, have you ever been invited into the inner circle of like important people? There's a life-giving, like humbling thing that happens. Imagine that the Lord of creation is inviting you and me into his inner circle, his inner council, where he'll share with you and I things that you can't get or know any other way. There is a deeper knowing that he invites us into. And this is what devotion is all about. Let me say it like this as I wrap up. Devotion is not about arriving. It's about abiding. And here's the crazy, like, paradoxical thing. You will find, even though a heightened life of devotion will produce more fruit in your life, the actual reward of devotion is knowing him. In 2012, one of the major lessons the Lord spoke to me, I was like trying to white knuckle a season, and I was asking God, when are we going to get through this? And he spoke to me. There's been very few times where I've heard him as clear as this. And he said to me, if you are with me, you're already where you need to go. Like, the goal is not getting there. The goal is knowing me. And in knowing me, you have all that you need. This is the great invitation of devotion. John Wesley, at his last words, this man who'd lived a wild adventure with Jesus, his last words before he died, he said, best of all, God with us. Like he knew the Almighty. That's what's on the table for you and I in devotion. So here's a few tips for you, like just to help. I'm gonna give you a 7-day challenge, all right? Let's try again. Let's get back on the horse, all right? Again, not feeling confident. I feel like Matthias is just playing those sweet, sweet chords and y'all are just settling in. All right. I would love you, man. You're so talented. Jumpins. Here's the challenge, all right? I'm gonna pray for you. I want to challenge you this week. Start every day. Try to start every day with word and prayer. And some of you are like, well, I work at the refinery. I get up at 4:45. I'll get up at 4:30. Ouch. Look, do you have to start your day with the Lord? No, but it's better that way. Again, there's grace all over this. So don't feel like you're out if you don't do this. You're just better if you do. No. Not in a contest kind of way. I mean, you're going to be better if you do. You hear me? So try to start every day with word and prayer. If you got 15 minutes, good. If you got an hour, some of you are retired. Who's in a hurry? Right? All right. This is your time. It's your time to know the voice of the Lord like never before. Just sit there and wait till he says something. It's amazing. Number two, here's a pro tip. This has been huge for me. I know some of you think, well, that seems really religious. Yeah, sure, whatever. Say the Lord's Prayer out loud every day. Me and my son, every day when I drive him to school, it's the first thing. We pull out of our driveway, we hang a right, and we say the Lord's Prayer out loud together every day. There's power in it. Number three, try to stay connected through the day. Maybe set a reminder on your phone to pray 3 to 5 times through the day. And what I mean by prayer, I don't mean like you don't have to kneel down and just go into deep intercession at Costco. Like, just acknowledge the Lord. Just acknowledge the Lord in a moment. Just say thank you, Jesus, for something. When you get your meal, there's a good cue right there to just like pause and pray. Try to find a few points in your day where you acknowledge and touch base with the Lord. And it'll get more natural. The same way, like some of you who are married, you know those rhythms. Like, how long is a really long time before you and I have texted or talked, right? You know what those healthy patterns look like. Try to establish that in your life. So, you up for the challenge this week? Come on, St. Stephen, Halifax, West. All right, let's stand to our feet. I want to pray for you. I'll leave you with this. Just hang tight. Prayer team's coming, but no one else move. I was driving here to the church last night, and I felt the Lord say this in my spirit. And I just felt like this thing came to mind where I felt the Lord say, do you know that if the people of King's Church got like 15% more devoted to me, you would not be able to measure the impact of what would happen. Like just turning the dial of devotion up a little bit in our church, and the same is true in your family, and the same is true in your individual life. If you just turn the dial of devotion up a little bit, it will bear much fruit. And I felt the Lord say, like, you know, you're longing to see this church just absolutely explode. You want to see the multitudes come, and I want to see that too. But the key to that is not necessarily, you know, someone writing million-dollar checks to buy new buildings at all the sites. If you're up for that, let me know. It's not finding the right program or having the perfect pastoral staff. The thing that's going to unlock everything is devotion. It's a people that learn to devote themselves to me. And so I want to challenge you with that today, that just think of the things that the Lord wants to do in your life that will happen if you just turn the dial of devotion up even just a little bit. So let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this truth. We know that it's true. Lord, we ask right now for grace to do it. It's hard, Lord. And you know our flesh, you know our ability, you know our shortcomings, you know our temptations, our distractions. So help us, Lord. Help us walk and live out a life of devotion that we may know you more, that we may experience the freedom and vitality and joy that you promised to give us. Help us walk in your ways. Help us be like you, Jesus. Help us remain attentive to the Spirit and fully committed to your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all the disciples said, amen, amen, amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful today, why don't you give it a share? If you need prayer or anything, we'd love to help you out with that. Why don't you go to our website at kingschurch.cc. Thanks again.